Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this choke horse. But it's no horse bar, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. What is good, everybody? It is your boy, Weed Too Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slappin' Me Wrestling Podcast. As always on Tuesdays, I'm joined by the one and only DJ Wavy D, who will be headed out to Las Vegas this weekend for WrestleMania. I don't know if the rest of the casual group. I know B-Master is going to be out there. I think that might be it.
I think if I'm not mistaken, I think Deadshift's going to be out there too.
Deadshift, okay. But they'll be out there. You know, that whole group was planning, but you know, things happen with Mike and them, and hopefully maybe SummerSlam we all can meet up.
Yeah, so SummerSlam is only an hour away from me.
Right. I'll be there. Right. But today is the long-awaited WrestleMania prediction show. It's been a long build, an extra 3 weeks of time for WrestleMania, as WrestleMania is this weekend. So we will be predicting, of course, night one, night two of WrestleMania, and we're going to predict Stand and Deliver. We're going to do Stand and Deliver as the last thing, because as we speak, the card's not finished being made yet. So hopefully by the time we get out there, NXT will be over and we'll have a full card. Before we get there, as always, like, share, subscribe, click the links in the description. As we talk WrestleMania during the event, join the Discord. Maybe Wavy can show us some photos from out there.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna be late going to all the nightclubs, and you know, maybe he can get a photo with Mark Henry.
There is a 86% chance that I'm going to Stand and Deliver.
Yeah. Cool.
There's tickets available. I'm trying to see which of my boys want to go. They all said they'll go, but then we couldn't buy the tickets. We haven't bought them yet, so we'll see if they're available day of.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there'll be some on like Tick Picks or whatever. Game time.
I'll probably see B-Master, Deshif, I'll go.
Right.
My boys will go do something else.
Right. But with that, we're going to jump on in. We're going to start with Let's Get Cooking. And in the spirit of WrestleMania, real simple, we're not booking nothing. We're just going to relive our favorite WrestleMania moment that we have seen. It could be from a WrestleMania before your time. You know, if you liked WrestleMania 9, you know, no one liked WrestleMania 9, but that's the last time they were in Vegas, and it was Undertaker versus Giant Gonzalez. So that'll tell you where that show went. That'll tell you where that show went. But so I'll let you start. What is your favorite WrestleMania moment?
My favorite WrestleMania moment of all time, it'll probably never be topped, is when Rey Mysterio won the World Heavyweight Championship against Randy Orton and Kurt Angle in a triple threat match back in 06. Rey Mysterio, you know, he's my favorite of all time. He might not be my favorite currently, but he's my favorite of all time. And, you know, he's always been, since I was a little boy, my favorite wrestler. When I saw the next day that he won the championship, I shed a tear in school. I go to the bathroom and wipe away my thug tears. Because, you know, I found out that Monday. Because, you know, back then, I couldn't afford the show. So I found out on Raw the next day. And it was a great moment. Probably second might be more recently when Cody Rhodes returned against Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Because you know, we all knew he was returning, you know, kind of the cat was out the bag,
right?
So the way his entrance was, the way he's presented, Mm-hmm. The beginning of the match when he was like shedding his skin of Stardust. That was a great moment. And the third spot would probably be Cody winning the title.
Okay.
I was a big fan of Cody winning the title, the emotion behind it. You can hear the tears in Samantha Irving's voice when she was announcing the winner. Michael Cole crying. Everyone coming down to the ring. His wife, his mother. It was a good moment.
Yeah. I'm glad you gave three because I couldn't pick one either. So the first one that I immediately thought of was WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan. I think, in my opinion, this is the greatest moment of WrestleMania history. Just from you mentioned the emotion with Cody and a pure emotion, in that story of whether, he had to go through Triple H to start the show and go through the Batista and Randy Orton to end the show and whether or not he was going to do it or not. And then he did it. And so that was definitely a great moment. Cody Rhodes' return at 38, I actually saw that earlier on Twitter, I think it was. And just the way that Vince was back there, like that debut took, it felt like forever. The music, we knew who it was, but there was still this like that intrigue of will it actually be Cody? And my number three would is a little bit biased, but it's sort of that same mentality. And I was in the building for it, was when the Hardys returned at WrestleMania 33. In Orlando, and won the tag titles. Granted, that run didn't really lead much to them, and they were gone within like 4 years anyway. But it was still a great moment. They had just finished up their TNA stuff, worked against the Young Bucks the night before. We weren't 100% certain if they were going to be there, and they were. And that, I'm telling you something, that might be the loudest reaction I've ever heard live. That stadium was the stadium was shaking, how loud it was. So there's that. In the comments, leave your guys' favorite WrestleMania moments of all time. With that, we're gonna briefly cover SmackDown from last Friday and Raw from yesterday. What were your thoughts of the episodes? So any thoughts about those two shows that you want to talk about?
Let's see. The Randy Orton and Nick Aldis segment was pretty nice.
It was good.
I like how it's still kind of up in the air what's going to happen with Randy.
Yeah.
So I assume we'll get final confirmation this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm upset that Chelsea Green doesn't have a spot in the card.
Right.
If anything, let her host the show like The Miz does sometimes. Hopefully she can come out, maybe some type of Waller effect or something, or a Waller effect-esque.
Right. I heard an idea. I forgot where it was. Where like at one of those like moments in between matches, have her like run down to the ring and complain she doesn't have a match, and then someone answers it, and she gets like an impromptu thing for the title.
Hopefully she's gonna squash.
Right.
Let's see. SmackDown has been kind of forgettable. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
What else happened on SmackDown? I watched the show.
Yeah, it's just one of those, especially last Friday's episode. It was just a bunch of filler, and it wasn't meant to really do much of anything. Triple H is obviously done telling stories. These last, three or four shows. So he's just sort of thrown in the towel. He gave us some good wrestling. Bayley and Lyra had a good match.
Oh, Rey Fénix.
Rey Fénix had a really good match against Berto.
Yeah, so Berto.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna hold you. That guy, if like he's one of those wrestlers. I put this in my notes. He's one of those wrestlers that if he wasn't tied down to his family, mm-hmm. like to Garza,
to the Garza, yeah.
if he had a chance to like just break out and shine, like say like in a breakout tournament or something,
right?
I feel like Humberto would be one of those guys who, like, he has star written on him as far as like his build, his move set, his in ring character work. I don't know if he's the greatest on the mic or not, but as far as his mannerisms in the ring, he has really good mannerisms.
Right.
And when him and Phoenix were in the ring, I put it in the Discord, it reminded me of Psicosis and Mysterio back from like their WCW, ECW days.
Right.
Like, Humberto was like,
that guy. He's good. That's the only other real segment on SmackDown.
Cody Rhodes with the titles by him.
I feel bad for Cody in a way because he's had to carry this build for basically 2 months. And so it's really hard to finalize and get people excited for a story when the bad guy, like, it's easier for like let's say if Cody was the bad guy and Cena was the good guy, the bad guy could hold the story down.
Kind of with Kevin Owens and Steve Austin.
Right. But when you don't have, so JD from NY, I know a lot of people don't like him, but he compared it to, it's sort of like watching Batman, but the Joker's not there. Mm. So Batman's carrying the show, but you don't really know why he's there because the main arch nemesis isn't part of the show. And so I know we're getting Cena on Friday. Hopefully something happens. Maybe Dwayne will actually tell us a story, but I doubt it. Let's move to Raw last night. Gunther, what a promo. What a promo this guy has. I think the only thing that really took away from that last night, and like Jey Uso should not have been on the show last night. Or at least in the way he was, because he came out and sort of completely contradicted everything he said last week. Where like he came out last week and he didn't do the yeets, he didn't participate in that. And he's like, I was afraid. And then we come out this week and he's out here partying again. I don't know, just kind of.
Well, I think since he was able to, he talked to Gunther in the ring last week and he got everything off his chest, maybe he realized, you know, that it was almost like a therapy session. He faced his, the first part of his fear was acknowledging that he had a fear. And now he's able to get back into the mojo.
Yeah, I'm gonna save this take for when we do predictions because that's where it belongs. We'll run down some of these normal awards. We got some awards for the WrestleMania builds that Witters submitted that we'll discuss at the end of the show. Who's your best dressed of the week?
Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan was looking fine.
Watch out, Zoe Stark gonna censor her.
Oh wow, Liv Morgan was looking fine.
best promo of the last week.
Oh, Gunther. Gunther had probably the best promo. Seth Rollins had decent.
The Rollins promo yesterday was pretty good. Best match of the last week.
I'd probably say Phoenix and Humberto. Best TV match.
Yeah. I like that one. Yeah, I'll go with you on that one. Most underwhelming. I don't know if we really have one of these.
Of a match?
Or match, performance, you know, just anything.
It was good, but I wanted to see a little bit more out of Julius Creed and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
They had a good match, but I wanted to see more. I wish it didn't have all the interference. I mean, also the interference was predictable because as soon as everybody got tossed from ringside, I was here comes Americano.
Right.
And he came out. But those two have some good chemistry. I just wish there was more at stake between the two of those guys wrestling.
Yeah. And then MVP of the week.
MVP of the week. I got to go with Jon Moxley. You know, so he's holding it down over there in AEW. You know, saying through all the scrutiny and all the criticism and scrutiny, he's holding it down over there. You know, saying everybody wants to get rid of, you know, let go of the title, But, you know, it's all part of the story. You know, it's all part of the the bigger picture. It's all sort of storytelling.
Yeah, such a great story. All right, but what's the real answer? It's BFAB, isn't it?
No. BFAB's over there with, like, Tony Khan and the Young Bucks.
Damn.
MVP of the week. I guess Seth Rollins. Because he had the strongest promo. Actually, no, I'll give it to Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
I like the small things with Roman Reigns.
Roman's promo was very logical this week. Like, like, Paul, this is your business. Why do I got to pay the price for it?
Exactly.
Like, it was very logical. I feel like if Vince would have wrote that promo, you know, we wouldn't have got that level of logic out of Roman. It would have been something stupid.
It was the small things like grabbing his own microphone.
And
side-eyeing Paul Heyman.
Roman may not be the best overall promo, but he does the small things, the body language part, probably the best. So there's that. Let's get to these predictions. We'll start with WrestleMania, since we have what we assume will be the full 14 match card. Now these are based on what we know, and the nights are based on a leak. It could be wrong, so let's just don't hold me to it. It's from a leak. You know, these leaks tend to be wrong, but we'll have a discussion on the nights in a minute. But let's just start with the predictions. We'll start with night one. These aren't in any particular order, just how I found them. Naomi versus Jay Cargill.
I think Jay Cargill. She's a prediction for the win.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like this one's kind of almost like a toss-up, but I feel like it can go either way, especially because there's no title on the line. But right. this is Jade's like first big match, and you know we've been waiting for her first big match, and especially WrestleMania. So you know she should show out. Naomi's a good opponent. She's a good work, a good worker. So if anyone can make Jade Cargill look good, it's Naomi.
Absolutely.
So this is Jade Cargill's chance to silence the haters and the critics.
Right. Yeah, I think Jade's definitely going to win. So I'm not necessarily I'm not going to watch that match for that. I'm more so going to watch this for what you just said. How does Jade respond to not being in tag team matches at pay-per-views in big moments? This is her first big singles match, I think. You know, because my prediction early in the year, like early in predicting WrestleMania, was that Jade was going to win the title at SummerSlam. I think this determines how they feel about her. And if they give her that potential opportunity for that push. So I do think Jade wins. But like you said, it would not surprise me. Like, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if Naomi goes over. I just don't see a reason for Naomi to go over here. Next match, New Day versus War Raiders for the tag team championships.
Now, see, for those wondering why I'm wearing a crown right now, it's because, you know, last year I was the winner of predictions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm the predictions champion on the show. Even over on the junkyard, I'm a champion over there at predicting.
Yeah.
Without even watching AEW.
Right.
So I gotta go with the New Day. I feel like the New Day, this will kind of like, this will fulfill their heel turn and make it worth it. I feel like if they lose this heel turn, if they lose this match, their heel turn was all for nothing. And it'll kind of put them back at the bottom of the barrel, not being used, not really, you know, not being utilized. And so the only way I see them losing this match is if there's some type of interference from Big E.
Yeah.
But I believe that they should win this match. So I got New Day for the win.
Yeah. I'm going New Day as well. I think it makes sense. Though I'm leaning more to what you just said, and I think we might get a Big E interference. I don't know how I feel about it. I would just be honest. This match should not be on the card. That's just my opinion. There's very little like build to it, and I would have much rather if we were going to put a tag team match on the card.
The SmackDown.
I feel like there's a lot more built there. I know there's not a single number one contender, but I feel like this has been pretty common sense. You know, you've been saying we're missing a ladder match. Do a five team ladder match for the titles, for the SmackDown titles. I feel like that would have been the better match.
Okay, what they should do is do that this Friday on SmackDown.
Right.
Just do for the main event.
Right. Well, we got the grand old Andre the Giant Battle Royal. So. Yeah, I do believe that happens next week or this Friday. So
I'm excited for it.
Unfortunately, the women don't get battle royals for this because they refuse to rename it instead of the Mae Young Classic or whatever the fuck they called it.
Yeah, what, like a bully or something? Did they come up?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the women don't want it named after her, and they refuse to name. But do not fret; they're going to get their own pay per view. And more than likely, Connecticut is the location because the Monday Night Raw after is in Providence, Rhode Island.
I'm gonna be there. So low key, they should have the Chelsea Green Battle Royal Invitational, and the winner gets a title opportunity at Chelsea's United States Women's Championship.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Moving down the line here, probably what could contend for best match of the weekend. Rey Mysterio taking on El Grande, definitely not Chad Gable, Americano.
So, since it's not a mask on the line match, I think El Grande Americano walks away with the victory.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm on that same thought process. I think this might go quite a long time with this gimmick, especially of what I saw in that Triple H is looking at running a Mexico tour. You know how fucking how much heat this guy would get?
Well, what they gotta do is they gotta get a makeup person and cover up the back of his neck. There's a tattoo that resembles one similar that Chad Gable has.
Yeah.
It looks similar. It's not the same, but it looks similar.
Yeah. So I know we haven't officially made it a mask versus mask match. Part of me feels like at some point in the 3 hours of the pre-show that we have, because for some reason they have a 3 hour pre-show for a show that's going to be 4.5 hours long. I think that might be like the stipulation added. I don't know anyone who's going to watch the pre-show, so I don't know if they'll do any changes to the card there. As it stands, not match for match, El Grande Americano is going to win. LA Knight defends U.S. title against Jacob Fatu. Man, that's pretty obvious.
I think LA Knight walks out with the title.
Ooh.
I think LA Knight walks out the title because I believe Sol Sikoa gets in the way and calls Jacob the title. And then it'll give us a further divide between Jacob and Solo.
Okay. So I have Jacob winning. I like the logic you're using with like further dividing this group. But I think the divide is going to come with Jacob coming back and being like, look, you were leader for a year and you couldn't do what I've done in, 6 months. I already have a title. You don't. You've never won one on the main roster. But I have. I also think it gives their feud a purpose. I think theirs is one of the few, because there's no Ula Fada or like bloodline, like leadership at stake. I feel like this feud kind of needs something to fight for, especially like, I feel like this is going to be a match. I think Jacob and Solo will be a match at SummerSlam. And I would like to see that be for the title. I think that'll be a good way to build that feud. So I'm going Jacob Fatu. Next match. Charlotte Flair versus Tiffany Stratton.
Give me Tiffany Stratton still.
Yeah. No. So how will WWE book this? Tiffany Stratton's winning. I've been saying for 8 months now, Tiffany Stratton's going over in this feud. Now the question is, how would We Too Deep book it based on how the build has been? And well, we've already covered that. Charlotte Flair would walk out with the championship and Tiffany Stratton would be jobbed out for the next year. But we're not going to get down that argument again. Tiffany Stratton's leaving with the belt and maybe start a feud with Roxanne Perez, because that was sort of teased last Friday. We'll see. Roxanne needs a partner for Stand and Deliver, by the way. So if she can find a partner, there's a fatal four-way match for, I don't know. I just saw that on Twitter. Some people are speculating AJ Lee. I think we got to stop with that, but that'd be cool. Next match, main event, Jey Uso. It's not so quite main event versus Gunther.
Give me Jey Uso.
So, I feel like 99.7% of the people, when they make their predictions for this card, will pick Jey Uso. It's the most common sense prediction. If you want a safe bet, first of all, I don't know why you would bet on Jey Uso. You won't get anything in return if he does win. But I'm going Gunther here. And here's why. I think WWE has a long-term plan in play for Gunther. Now, I know y'all could say, well, we could do this without the title. I think the long-term play is a man named Ilya Dragunov. And the battle is when he returns at Clash at Paris, that we rerun their match in the UK from like 4 or 5 years ago. And that'll be the play. I think Dragunov will be the one that beats Gunther for the belt. I don't want Jey to win the title, because I really don't. I just don't know what's next for him. And I know we've been saying here for a couple of weeks, he only needs to have it for a month or two. I don't know storyline wise where you take Jey Uso. Outside of like what I would do, just I think pairing him back up with Jimmy, sliding them back in to the depleted tag division would be where I would put him. I don't know. I kind of the sentiment Dirty D put in his Discord yesterday. If Jay's title run's just going to be yeeting and high school slang, I don't know if I want it. And that's all it's going to be. It's going to be a commercialized product every single week. And that's why I'm begging and pleading WWE to keep Gunther as champion, especially if he's going to continue down the route he's at right now, because he finally hit that stride.
Now here, I'll tell you what. See, the reason Jey Uso is winning this match is because if Jey Uso doesn't win, just imagine how depleted and upset that crowd is going to be. Now,
well, so I have a theory.
Where do you put that match on the card? Because I'm thinking it's going to be second to last match of the night.
Nah. So my theory is this. If it's not the main event, wrestlers have historically said the one place that they like to be if they're not the main event is going first. I think this match goes first on night one.
And then you start the night depleted?
Yeah. I think there's enough in between that and the main event to build up the energy.
Yeah, but you can't start WrestleMania depleted like that. You need a hurrah moment to start the match, to start the night off, start the crowd happy. You can't put such a depressing moment at the start of the night, especially. And then that's also why you can't put it late in the night too, because if you depress the crowd right before the main event of the triple threat, I mean, I know people love the triple threat.
But so I guess what other match starts the show then? Because there's no big hoorah moment on night one. And that's the conversation we're going to have when we're done predicting this, is what night do we think are better?
You could put Tiffany and Charlotte number one, or Chad Gable Rey Mysterio number one.
I mean, you could. I think Jay versus Gunther goes first. I think it gives it enough time if Gunther does win, for you to forget about the rest of it by the time we get to the main event. But I'm picking Gunther. I'm more than likely going to be wrong here. I think you start the night with Jay. You know, if Jay's going to win, start the night with that.
Also, I guess if you do it first, it's still going to be daylight out, so that way you can see everyone yeeting in the crowd. You can see all the hands in that daylight. Yeet, yeet, yeet.
We'll see. My prediction for this is solely just because I don't want Jey Uso to be world champion. I'll admit I'm a hater here. Please don't make it happen. It's going to happen, but please don't make it happen. But let's move on to the main event of night one. Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Seth Rollins. How we end in night one?
I think Roman Reigns does not win, and then he goes away for a while.
Okay.
I think Roman goes away for a while. I think Seth Rollins wins this match. Okay. Mostly because Seth Rollins has done too much losing as of late.
Yeah.
And he only got the win in the steel cage match because Roman dragged him out.
Right.
That's the only reason he won that match. There's a small chance that Paul Heyman sides with Seth Rollins or goes with him at the end of the match. Who knows? But I think Seth Rollins overcomes it all and he wins the match.
Yeah. Yeah. I got Seth Rollins here as well. Partially. So I do think he pins CM Punk. I don't think they're going to have Roman get pinned. Whether Roman goes away, I think. Well, the answer is always, well, he does. It's his post WrestleMania vacation. We'll see him, and we'll see him in the fall. But I think maybe there's a chance we could see him at Saudi, because it's the only Saudi show I've heard this year. They're only going to do one, and that'll be like May or June. So maybe we get Roman at Saudi. And then he'll go away for the rest of the year. But yeah, Seth Rollins. Yeah, I think he does win. I think he needs the win. He's the only one in this match that a loss would hurt. I think Punk could overcome it because it's CM Punk. But we shall see. I think Seth Rollins is the winner though of the main event. So then we move into night two, and we're going to predict the women's champion Io Sky versus Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley. I know you're going for this. So
I think Io Sky pins Rhea Ripley.
Okay.
We floated the idea to Nerdy in the Discord. He was talking about it today. Is Bianca kind of has a streak right now where she hasn't been pinned at WrestleMania,
right?
And I think they're going to try and continue that little streak for future builds where Bianca hasn't been pinned at WrestleMania. I do think she loses, but she'll take the pinfall. I think Io pins Rhea. What I think happens is I think Bianca hits the KOD or whatever on Rhea. She's going for the pinfall. As she's going for the pinfall, Io Sky hits a moonsault from the top rope onto both of them. Bianca hurt, rolls out of the ring. Io pins Rhea.
Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and fully admit this is, again, another one of those bias matches. Bianca Belair, I've been saying this for the last 6 months, is walking out of WrestleMania with the championship. Who she pins, how it happens, I don't necessarily care. I think I personally don't think Rhea Ripley is going to get pinned. I think Bianca will pin Io. However, I will admit there is a chance Io Sky could leave with the belt, but I'm picking Bianca solely because I'm gonna tell you why. SummerSlam's the next big show that we're supposedly building to, and their whole promo has been Bianca. You know, you had Cardi B in it, which that doesn't really matter. But then you had Bianca and Jade. And I do believe that will be the match. That main event's night one of SummerSlam will be Bianca and Jade for the title. So that is why I'm picking Bianca. I'm thinking long term, which is probably why I'm going to be wrong with it. But Bianca Belair wins the championship. I do believe this match starts night one. If you pay enough attention to match or cards that Rhea Ripley, or not Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair are on that are pay-per-views or PLEs, Bianca typically starts the night. So I do believe this match will be the start of night two. Next match, another multi-man mania match here. Bron Breakker, Penta, Dominic Mysterio, Finn Balor for the IC Championship. Where are we going?
So, to backtrack a little bit, my letdown of the week was that we did not get a Bron Breakker mathematics four-way promo.
Yeah.
You put me in the ring with these, you know, it's a Phil Ford match. I have a 25% chance, but Finn Balor's bum ass knows he can't beat me. So you take his 25% chance, he gets my 25% chance, and I got 5% chance of walking out. Yeah, so we should have got a Bron Breakker kind of homage
to Scott Steiner. 100% we should have got that.
I believe he did it one time in NXT, if I'm not mistaken.
He mentioned Steiner math at one point. Something like we're not good at math or something.
We should have got a Steiner math promo out of Bron Breakker. Now, my pick for this match is someone who the Vegas odds actually have in last place. I think Finn Balor walks out with the title.
Mm.
They have him in last place as far as winning this match. Right. I think Finn Balor wins this. And I think we get a little bit more of a slow burn to the Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio breakup. I think we get almost like an evolution kind of breakup, where Dom gets like a title chance at some point in the future, and he picks Finn Balor, you know, and he says screw you, I'm getting my chance, and so I think that happens down the line. But I think Finn Balor finally gets rewarded for all of his hard work. He gets another title run. And then I think, you know, you push Bron Breakker up into the world title picture. Penta, I mean, he could possibly win it from Finn sometime in the future. But I think you give it to Finn. You run a Finn and Dominic storyline. Honestly, I'm not against pairing up Penta and Phoenix sooner rather than later. I know people want to see them have success on their own, but the superstar shakeup or the draft or whatever, the Raw needs some help in the tag team department.
Okay.
And having Penta Phoenix as the main guys on Raw, that would help the roster out a lot.
100%.
And, you know, neither guy is, like, an amazing promo just because of the language barrier. They both speak enough English to get the point across, and they have emotion. But, I mean, unless you want to give Penta, like, a quick IC title reign before you pair the two up.
Yeah.
But I see them as tag team wrestlers.
Right.
And I want to see those two together.
Absolutely. To piggyback off of what you just said there, that was actually, as I was thinking through this, we got the draft coming up. I do think they are on Raw. And it's part of the reason why I picked the New Day, because I think the New Day versus the Lucha Bros would just be the perfect match. That would be so fantastic. That would be a banger. Potential match of the year. And I want to see that. But well,
you can run back the magic that New Day and the Usos had with New Day and the Lucha Bros.
Right. I do agree they are better as tag teams. I do think Bron Breakker loses this match. I'm picking Dominic, though. I think Dominic, however, you mentioning Finn and slow burn, it's really, I could see that happening. I really, that would probably be better as far as a storyline. But I think just for like Mania being like instant gratification, Dominic finally winning a title that means something after so many years of putting in work would be great. I think the wild card in this is with it being Fatal 4-Way, where does Carlito play? What role does Carlito play in this match? I have a feeling we're going to see him get speared again and die for a second time. But does Carlito help Dominic win the match? Does he do something that costs Finn and distracts Finn? That's what I'm sort of looking at here.
The biggest question is who takes the pinfall.
Right.
That's the biggest question.
Right.
Because I don't think it's Bron Breakker.
Yeah, I don't think Bron will take the pin. I don't think they'll have Penta take the pin either.
I think Penta's most likely. If either member of the Judgment Day wins,
right.
I think Penta is the one who takes the pin.
Okay, I can see that. We'll move on. This one's going to be a little bit extra special of a prediction because it's Randy Orton versus Blank right now. We're assuming he's going to have a match. So we're going to predict who he's going to fight against and then the result. I'll let you go first.
What it should be is a heel Matt Riddle.
100%.
The story writes itself. What they might do, I hope it's not Nick Aldis, but they might go down the Nick Aldis route. Maybe Nick Aldis says, you know, he got some friends. He got SmackDown's new assignee. Could be returning Aleister Black. But again, Aleister Black shouldn't take a pin his first match back, especially at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Randy loses the match.
Okay.
You can just blame it pure. You can just blame it purely on surprise, not being able to prepare for your opponent. And I think Randy will be fine, and it'll also get more of a devilish, heelish Randy out. He lost that Mania due to not knowing who his opponent is, being surprised, you know,
right?
And it eats at him. So I think your most likely options. Your top four options are Nick Aldis, Matt Riddle, Aleister Black, or that Jeff Cobb guy everybody's talking about. I'd rather see Jeff Cobb get put into this position than the main event picture.
So if you had to pick one, who would it be?
If I were to pick one, if I was booking Matt Riddle.
Okay.
But if I'm WWE and I'm putting someone in there, I think it's probably gonna be Nick Aldis.
Yeah. Okay. So I know you don't want a Nick Aldis match.
I want Nick Aldis versus Adam Pearce.
I mean, that's fine, but I don't think Adam Pearce can wrestle anymore. I know Nick Aldis can wrestle because he did 3 years ago before he came to WWE. I think Orton versus Nick Aldis, first off, there's story there. But I also could see this happening with, like, even – so I have Randy winning, no matter who is fighting him, which is why I believe it's Nick Aldis, because, like you just said, someone like an Aleister Black can't take a pin on his return to the company. And so I do think it'll be Nick Aldis. I think even in a loss, he could have like a promo with Triple H and Gorilla where like, hey bro, I need to step down from GM doing that. I gotta right. Then we can replay Cody versus Nick Aldis. And maybe Nick Aldis could return the favor to Cody from All In 2018 and beat Cody for his title. I don't know. That's just me fantasy booking, being a little bit too much of an IWC nerd here.
Ooh. Another option is you call up one of the NXT boys.
Right.
Obafemi teaches me a lesson.
So that's what's interesting is Oba could technically lose his title Saturday morning.
Yep.
So, you know, there is a potentiality that a Trick Williams, because Javon Evans has history with Randy.
But see, I don't think Trick Williams and Javon Evans have the physical overwhelmingness right. that like story wise. That Oba faces, like Trick Williams, he's not, you know, he's an athlete, he's built, he has a good frame, but he's not anything we haven't seen before. He's kind of built like Randy, if anything. And right. You got Javon Evans, who already lost to Randy, who's also not like the greatest wrestler. But you have Obafemi, who, outside of just being a good wrestler, just the brute force and power of this man can story wise throw Randy off his game. And catch Randy slacking. The other guys aren't catching Randy slacking. And the surprise factor of those guys, because they're still likable guys. They're still faces in the eyes of the people. Obafemi, you know, we like him. He's not a face. Yeah, that man is a badass. I would say badass heel. So Oba just has the pure power and pure physical stature to overpower Randy at any given day.
I feel you there. That would be a crazy moment for sure. We'll move on to probably the only match on this card that is a pure definition of bathroom break. Liv Morgan and Raquel versus Lyra and Bayley.
Nah, this match is gonna be actually really good. I think this match has potential to steal night two. I think this match has potential, especially if given the time.
This man's celebrating 420 early.
Nah, yo, you got four really good workers in here. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the female match of the weekend. I would not be surprised if this tops Charlotte and Tiffany, and I wouldn't be surprised if this tops the women's triple threat match. Even though I think the triple threat match is going to be the best women's match of the night, of the weekend, I wouldn't be surprised if this tag team match blows everybody out the water and they have a freaking really good match. You have four really good workers. You have Bayley, Liv, Lyra, and Raquel. And I can see some crazy spots happening. I can see Lyra pulling out some craziness with Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan will take any bump. I can see some wildness happening in this match. Be a match of the night, if not weekend, for the women. As far as prediction, who wins? Give me Liv and Raquel.
Okay. Yeah, I'm picking Liv and Raquel, but I'm also, I'm just, again, This may be a pure bias thing. I'm tired of this division. They don't care about it. Get rid of it. I also think that there's definitely better places that you could put a Lyra Valkyria where this match wasn't necessarily needed. This is just a case of them needing to put – you need to put Liv on the card. So now you got a random – you got to put together some random tag team, which I'm not the biggest fan of. But I do think Liv Morgan and Raquel retain. AJ Styles versus Logan Paul.
Logan Paul.
Yeah.
This might be the easiest match to predict. Logan Paul. Because I think AJ falls into a deeper story with Karrion Kross.
I could see it. I am going to go with Logan. I don't know if I would say it's easy to predict. I could see a world where Logan Paul takes the L. But this is sort of the time of the year where Logan, you know, does his few matches of the year. Because, like I said, we got Saudi coming up. So I do think they'll get him a W here. He'll go and maybe run a backlash or backlash match. Run a Saudi. I want to see Logan Paul fight for a world title this year. Just personally. Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre. But it's hard because, you know, Damian Priest has been billed as like the street king of the streets.
Right. So it is a street match.
Yep. Street fight.
Sin City street fight. I mentioned on the last episode I did that I kind of hope that, like, by this being a street fight, that they actually use the streets. They're probably not going to. It would be very dangerous to record on the Vegas Strip.
At least go backstage or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tired of these street matches that are basically just no DQ matches.
Yeah.
Even if it was how they used to do them in sort of like the older days, where like it's sort of cinematic to start the night, and then at some point in the match they show up live in the arena.
Okay, yes.
Because you have UFC Apex is literally like 7 minutes. What a better way to? I mean, UFC is part of TKO. Have them like just show up at the building and beat the shit out of each other. Have them go down the strip, start at the hotel, Fountain Blue, where they're all staying at, that's where the roast is going to be after the event, and it's also where the Hall of Fame is. I could see something like that. I think that would be very entertaining. And then, I mean, you only have to do that for 10, 15 minutes, have them come out from backstage and beat the shit out of each other for another 5 minutes, and then put the finish. And I do think McIntyre wins. McIntyre needs to be in a world title picture again. The fact that we've basically been at this point a year and a half, where granted he did win it at Mania last year, but since then, okay, so about a year now, where he's been mid-card, but he's the best person on the card. And so arguably the feud of the year last year, this has potential, if it goes longer, to be a feud of the year caliber. But with that, we move to the main event of night two. Cody Rhodes. Which would be Cody, special.
Cody Rhodes.
It would be a special chant you could do for Cody if you stopped doing it for every other wrestler, because they did it for Roman last night.
Roman Reigns.
But Cody Rhodes versus John Cena. What we have happening at this match?
Ooh. All right. Now, my brain says John Cena walks out the title.
Yep.
But my Booker brain tells me Cody Rhodes walks out the title.
Yep.
And my Booker brain tells me this because Cena hasn't got the job done on his own, all right? Because he hasn't had the help of his final boss, okay?
Mm.
His final boss hasn't been around. And if nobody shows up to Cena's side, Cody said it best. All this talk and all this hoopla, all this shirt selling, when the bell rings, you have to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't wrestle better than me. You can't out-wrestle me. So, if John Cena can't out-wrestle him, he's got to get the title done in other ways. And what better way than that for John Cena to win his last ring, to win his last title, than having to cheat? So, you know, if The Rock come out at Mania, or we don't get any third teammate reveal, which I think the third teammate is Seth Rollins. It might even be Cena's replacement if Cena can get the job done. But prediction-wise, give me Cody Rhodes walking out the title.
I hear you there. It's a logical pick. You just broke it down logically. I, however, am picking John Cena. And what I see happening is Cena's going to win. We all know some stupid shit's going to happen in this match. We'll probably see The Rock, maybe. At least I hope so. I don't necessarily think if there is a third man or that it'll be revealed at Mania. What I think will happen is I'm going to go back to the story that I had when Cena first turned at Chamber. What I thought of was there's one man that has history with The Rock in NXT. His name is Ethan Page. So I would have him caught up at some point, maybe at the draft, have him win Money in the Bank. Nothing connecting him to The Rock at this point. And then I would have Cena versus The Rock at SummerSlam. Maybe you have The Rock come in and win like King of the Ring or something. I don't think they're doing King of the Ring this year because I think the Saudi show is going to be Clash of Champions, if I read correctly. But which is stupid. I like the King of the Ring idea.
I do think King of the Ring, it was nice, but it kind of stalled some of their booking.
Right. I could see that. I could definitely see that. But maybe you have The Rock. I mean, honestly, all you would need is Cena wins the title. He realizes he doesn't need The Rock no more. He not necessarily turns on The Rock, but he tries to leave. And if you ever have ever watched like a mob movie or a gang movie, you just don't leave the gangs.
Yeah.
You gotta get your ass kicked and then they drop you. And so The Rock's like, if you want to leave, you got to beat me for it. We're going to fight at SummerSlam. We'll end the trilogy in MetLife where the last one happened. If you can beat me, Cena, you can leave. But if you can't beat me, you got to do what I say. I'm your final boss. And Cena takes the deal because he's John Cena. And Cena beats The Rock. The Rock has a plan B, and that's when Ethan Page comes out, cashes in, and wins the title. I think that would be fucking perfect. Because then now you can have Cena spend the last half of the year going after the one title he hasn't won yet. And then have him retire, and we'll go from there. I did see that they announced a Boston SmackDown in like August, so maybe Cena, maybe Cena's on SmackDown at that point. We'll see, but yeah, I do think.
Kind of what I'm thinking is that it's almost like when we had Roman versus Cody won,
right?
Everybody was going into the match thinking Cody's winning this, Cody's ending the streak. Cody's ending the reign. They were so confident, and Roman came out victorious. I think it's kind of similar here, where everybody thinks it's foregone conclusion. Cena's walking out the title. Cena's walking out with it, and I think Cody walks out with it.
Okay.
He's the Roman this year.
Okay. Before we get to Stand and Deliver, we're gonna do Witter's little awards here that he asked. The Road to WrestleMania award. So his first award is, who we giving the best build to?
Best build. I guess best build goes to Rollins, Punk, and Roman.
100%. That's, to me, that's the best story. Now, recently, Gunther and Jay has picked up. But the first 8.5 weeks of the build, we got nothing out of it. So, as an overall build of the story, it's definitely the Paul Heyman drama, Rollins, Punk, Roman Reigns. Who's the worst build?
The worst build. So is it just worst build, or does he have an underwhelming one too?
So it's worst build, and then there's another. The next award is most pointless match. We can get to that later.
All right,
but
because I think the worst build was New Day and the War Raiders, but that was just because it was like a lower card kind of thrown together thing. So a build that I would say was underwhelming was the Tiffany and Charlotte build.
So that's what I was going to give worst build to. I don't think a single ounce of story has been told. And so because of that, to me, that's the worst build. The only other thing I would put in there would be the women's tag match. Because there really isn't a build, but I can't really penalize it because it just got made. So they really didn't have time to tell a story. And I think the story of that match comes after the match itself with Lyra and Bailey. So I think that's why they made it. But as for like worst build, I'm going to give it to Tiffany and Charlotte just because I don't think we've told a story. I think we've just been doing shit. And it's not good. It's not good television at all. Most pointless match.
The most pointless match is probably New Day and the War Raiders.
Yeah. That, like I said, probably the only match I would say doesn't deserve a place on this card. Just because I don't know. I just feel like the whole tag division's weak right now. We need bigger stars and better development of stories there. All right. Who's going to steal the show?
Oh, let's see. Night one, I think, is going to be. Crap. I forgot who's night one. Night one, I think. Fuck it. Never mind. I think night one's good enough. Night two is going to be the women's tag team match. I think that is the biggest dark horse to steal the show. Like, I think they're going to go on second.
Okay.
And I think that people are going to have a hard time living up to that match afterwards. I think it's going to have the hardest to live up to. Is like when Sheamus versus Gunther versus Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Like we're all like, okay, it's gonna be a good match. When that match happened, it was potentially the best match of the night, best match of the weekend. So I think the women's tag team match has the potential.
So I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna go like dark horse here like you did, but I'm gonna go Rey Mysterio versus El Grande Americano. I think this match could actually be the match of the weekend.
My only problem is I don't think they're going to get enough time.
Yeah. It depends on what they give them. And if they play into the comedy of the bit. But if they allow them to actually wrestle, this will be a really good match.
Logan Paul and AJ.
That'll be a banger as well. So what I've noticed with this card, because we've had this conversation in the Discord, Triple H has given us maybe not the best build, maybe not the best story, but we got some matches on this card. And I hate to do this, but this almost feels like a AEW style pay-per-view where we're going to get some bangers. The booking might not make sense, but we're going to get some bangers in the ring. Next one, most hype match of the weekend.
Most hype match of the weekend, I think, is the women's triple threat match. I'm hyped for that match. That's my favorite match I'm looking forward to.
So that's the match I'm looking forward to the most. But I think the match that's going to – I'm giving it to Jay. I think Jay is going to have the most hype coming into the weekend. But yeah, the one I'm most looking forward to would either be, it's one of the triple threats, whether the women's one or the main event of night one. Those are the two matches I'm looking forward to the most. Who's going to take the biggest L?
Charlotte.
Yeah. I think at this point, Charlotte's going to lose. And I feel like at this point that should be just like Charlotte, hang up the boots. No one wants you here no more. The message is loud and clear. The locker room doesn't want you here. The fans don't want you here. I don't think Triple H wants her here. I think the only reason she's still in the company for as long as she was because she had Vince. That's a hot take for me. The last one, most likely to walk out a new champion.
Let's see. One second, we look at the card. Most likely to walk out as champion.
I'm going to say the New Day. I think that's the one I feel the most comfortable with being a new champion.
Yeah, if I'm getting purely to percentage points, I'll get to the New Day.
Yeah. All right, let's jump in real quick and do stand and deliver. It worked out. My plan worked out. We have a full card now. All right. So we got a pre-show match. We got seven matches on this card. One of them is a pre-show. Just made tonight. Oh, that's a very bad teammate you got there, Roxanne. No, I'm kidding. But we have a fatal four-way tag team elimination match to determine the number one contenders for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. We got Metaphor, Jakara Jackson, Last Legend, versus Fatal Influence. Fallon Henley and JC Jane will be the two fighting, versus Gigi Dolin and Tatum Paxley, versus Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez. Which is crazy. Roxanne delegated to the pre-show, stand and deliver.
You said Fatal Influence, Metaphor.
Gigi and Tatum and Cora and Roxanne.
Give me Metaphor. I think they're going to try to bring them back into the rotation.
Yeah, 100%. That's where my mind was going. I think a lot of people sort of feel Cora and Roxanne will be the winners. But I think it is going to be Metaphor because they've already fought for the belts. It's been talk for the last 4 months that they're going to be caught up. And so I definitely think it's going to be Metaphor. And part of me wonders, do they get involved if they win that match? Do they get involved on night two of Mania and have some sort of outcome of that match? Anyway, on to the main card for the vacant Women's North American Championship ladder match. Here's your ladder match for the weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Zarya versus Kalani Jordan versus Sol Ruka versus Izzy Dame. Thank God it's the ladder match because you don't have to remember how to hold a pin for 3 seconds. Versus Lola Vice and the returning Thea Hale, who won her qualifier tonight. Who's winning this one?
Oh, crap. I'm looking up, this event that I want to try and get tickets for. Potentially, it's in Vegas, one of the smaller shows. Run down the names again.
Zarya.
Okay.
Kalani. Sol Ruka. Izzy Dame. Lola Vice. Thea Hale.
And this is for a Northern Contenders match?
It is for the Women's North America Champion, which is vacant now. I don't know.
Okay, that's why. Yeah, okay. Give me Sol Ruka.
So that's what my initial first result was. That I'm going to officially select Zarya though, because I think Sol Ruka is getting called up. For those who don't know, I don't know if it's aired live on X yet. Sol Ruka is the new women's speed champion. So I think she's been working dark matches on the main roster. So I do think she's going to get called up soon. So I'm going to pick Zarya to win this. Next match, the Fatal 4-Way, because we love these type of matches this weekend, for the Women's NXT Championship, Stephanie Vaquer, Julia, Jordan Grace, Jada Parker.
Give me Stephanie Vaquer retains.
Yeah, I think Vaquer retains. I know the only other person I could see winning this would be Jada Parker. And if Jada wins, I think it's solely because Stephanie, Julie, and Jordan are getting called up. And then they're going to make Jada the sort of face of NXT, women's division, the sort of rebrand. That could still sort of happen, but I definitely think – I think Jordan and Jada will have a feud after this. And then ultimately, I think we're going to get the rematch, Stephanie and Julia, at whatever the next pay-per-view is. I don't know what the next event for NXT is off the top of my head. It might be Great American Bash, but – all right, so they won. Perfect. Hank and Tank. Hank Walker, Tank Ledger is fighting Fraxium.
Fraxium wins.
I'm going Hank and Tank on this one.
I'm not big on Hank and Tank.
I am. I fucking love them. But I also loved Otis and whatever the fuck his tag team was when they were Heavy Machinery.
Oh, Otis and...
Fuck, what was his name? Tucker? Was it Tucker? Yeah. But I love these guys. I do. But I also think, like, I had this thought when they were talking backstage, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, that Hank and Tank are winning. Because I do think Fraxium, again, is one of those people that will get drafted up. I think we're about to awaken our tag team division. Because I think we're going to get the Lucha Bros. We're going to get Fraxium. Maybe the Usos get back together. We got the Profits.
Hey.
You know, that we might have the best tag team in wrestling. Real quick, for the NXT North American Championship, Ricky Saints versus Ethan Page.
Give me Ricky Saints.
Ricky Saints is winning. Brand new match made tonight. 6-man tag match. The D'Angelo family. Tony D'Angelo, Stax Lorenzo, Luca Crucifino versus 3 members of Dark State, which if you don't know who that is, that's the random guys who've been attacking.
You know, Deion Lennox,
Cutler James, Shaquan Sugars, and Osiris Griffin. First off, that's a crazy name to give a black man, Shaquan Sugars. What a name. What a fucking
tough
name.
That name's tough. Coming now into the ring from Memphis, Tennessee, Shaquan Sugars.
I'm going Dark State here. I think Dark State can.
They need to win.
And I think it's because there's going to be some few. We're going to run a D'Angelo family breakup angle here. Stax and Tony have been having some beef within themselves. So that's what I think is going to happen. And then our main event, NXT Championship, Obafemi, Trick Williams, Yvonne Evans. You mentioned it's like the three different types of black people.
Yeah.
You can explain that better than I could.
You got the all-American collegiate black, all right? Like the light-skinned black.
Of Trick Williams, which, by the way, just got announced he's going to be in the show All-American.
Yep. So I told you. you got the foreign Nigerian black, okay?
Right.
The one who doesn't have any American ties, has their own culture, own customs. Mm. And then you got the one who's more hood, more right. From more urban, who has, you know, who speaks with a different vernacular, and you know, kind of you got Yvonne Evans,
right? Who's winning?
Obafemi.
Yeah, 100% Obafemi.
Very Obafemi.
Yeah. Yeah, Obafemi big time winning this. It's going to be a good match. All right. Other than that, that's Mania weekend for us.
So yep. I got the show that I'm debating I want to go to. It's okay. Thursday night, 8 o'clock. All right, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport.
Okay.
They got a stat card over here. A lot of WWE talent. So okay. We got Josh Barnett versus Gabe Kidd.
Okay.
We got Shayna Baszler versus Konami.
Okay.
We got Natalia, who's going by the name Natty Neidhart, I guess is her independent name, versus Miyu Yamatasha, Yamashita.
Okay.
Miyu Yamashita.
Okay.
You got Zack Sabre Jr. versus Jonathan Gresham.
Oh, that's crazy. That's going to be a good match.
You got Pete Dunne versus Timothy Thatcher.
Okay.
Karrion Kross versus Junior Kratos.
Okay.
Carmen Petrovich versus Maika or Makia. It's Maika.
I've never heard of her. So.
She's from Stardom.
Okay.
You got Charlie Dempsey versus Shinya Okoi or Aoki. Okay. You got Tavian Heights versus Royce Isaacs. And then you got Layla Hirsch versus Jordan Blade.
Layla Hirsch?
Yeah, Layla Hirsch.
Yeah, she's a former AEW. She might be coming. She just got released. She might be coming to WWE here soon. She's a good fighter. She's good.
You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 WWE talents on this card.
You're not going to be there tomorrow, are you? You're going in Thursday, right?
Yeah, I'm flying in Thursday. I'll be there by like 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
That sucks, man. Because if you were there tomorrow, old Swipe Right's at a GCW event.
Oh, where is
Swipe Right? Yeah, the ID Championship Tournament starts tomorrow.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I'll be in town for the women's part of it.
Mm-hmm. But that's the show. That's our predictions. We'll see. You know, we're pretty similar here. We got some differences. See if Wavy D's right here. We're going to let Wavy end with his final word, what he's looking forward to for the weekend, and yeah. We'll end the show.
This weekend, I'm looking forward to the pool parties.
Mm.
I'm looking forward to the nightclubs.
Mm.
I'm looking forward to grabbing some drinks with B-Master and and Death Chef.
Mm.
I can't remember if Willers is going. I forgot if Willers is going or not. Let's see. So I'll grab some drinks with the boys, take some pictures, you know, say a little casual community, you know, say get together. I'm going to try to go to like the wrestling comic cons, like the wrestling conventions.
Mm.
What's better, WrestleCon or WWE World?
So I've never been to WWE World, but I'm assuming it's going to be pretty similar to Access. And I enjoyed Access. I'm not a big like Comic-Con person just because I feel that that draws a lot of the weirdos out of mom's basement. And I don't like that crowd. So I would definitely, if you can't afford to go to WWE World, I would hit that up.
Let's see. I'm also going to one of the nightclubs that Mark Henry is going to be DJing.
Yeah.
So that should be fun. I'm looking forward to see if I can run into any content creators like Brandon from the Vibe crew.
Right.
I want to see if I can run into Simon Miller. I'm not sure if he's going, but they go like every year. I want to see if I can run into some of those guys. I want to be on Simon Miller's show, the ups and downs at the end of each night.
Right.
But yeah, and if I go to Stand Deliver, I'll give y'all an in crowd review.
All right, but that's our prediction for WrestleMania.
This crowd's on the line.
We'll be back. I'll be back on Friday. Probably will be a night show. I got a lot going on Friday, so it'll probably be right before SmackDown comes on. That I'll record that. And then we'll be back here for our review show. You're coming back when?
I'll be back Monday night.
You'll be back Monday. So we'll be here Tuesday.
Also, you got a possible collab with Dirty D.
I do. Tomorrow night I am recording with Dirty D in regards to the Mariah May situation. And trying to break that down for the casuals. So definitely tune in to the Casual Wrestling Community Show. I'll post the link in our Discord when that posts. Other than that, I'll see you on Friday. Me and Wavy will be back on Tuesday, hopefully to talk about how great WrestleMania was and this wasn't a stinker like 32. But until then, y'all have a great rest of your week. Enjoy WrestleMania. We'll see you then.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.